Take your Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Ezekiel. We've been doing, we're going to be in Ezekiel 37 to start with. We've been doing a study on seven resurrections that you'll find in Scripture. For the first one, and we'll go into more detail on it probably next week with Palm Sunday, and then Easter the following week. But of course, the first one was the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, Paul said, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Now that's the first resurrection. And then we dealt with the first fruits. Christ, the first fruits. That's in Matthew 27, in verse 50, 27:50. It says, "Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly and said, 'Truly this was the Son of God.'" So that's two resurrections. Resurrection of our Lord, and then the first fruits, when he arose from the grave, that resurrection, the power of his resurrection so powerful that those graves around him were opened and those folks walked into town. Man, how wild is that? That's the wildest thing you ever... Well, I'll tell you what's wilder than that, what we're going to get in tonight. I turn to, if you're at Ezekiel 37, this is a national resurrection. And Israel, of course, in the news with the election today. And if you remember, the Lord told Abraham that he would bless those that blessed him, speaking of Abraham, and curse those that curseth him. God's not done with the Jew. The church is just kind of a parenthetical here. Until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled, the Gentile bride of Christ, and Christ calls his bride home. But here, this is in Ezekiel 37. I've also turned to Romans 11. I'll go there first, Romans 11:25. And I'll read that, and then we'll go to Ezekiel 37. I love this chapter in Scripture. Romans 11:25, Paul said this, said, "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, and watch it, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion a deliverer and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." That's one of the seven mysteries that Brother Phil Gabbard's been dealing with in Bible Institute. There's seven mysteries. The Lord said that we're to be, as pastors, we're stewards of the mysteries of God. And in the Pauline epistles, there's seven of those mysteries that we deal with. This is one of them, the fact that there's blindness in part to Israel. There's a veil over the eyes of Israel. It's hard for a Jew to get saved, but some get saved. But very few. But once the Gentile bride is called out, then it all goes back about the Jew. And we'll see part of that here. In Ezekiel 37, starting in verse 1, the Bible says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said to me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' And I answered, 'O Lord God, thou knowest.' Again he said to me, 'Prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Wow, that's the wildest thing, man, you'll ever hear of. That's incredible. This is a resurrection of Israel at the end of the tribulation, and God places them, the whole house of Israel, into the millennium, into their own land. That original land grant that God gave to the Jew. In fact, if you look back at those 12 tribes, he gave certain portions to the different tribes. You know, the Jew has always tried to maintain their tribal lineage. God didn't even want them intermarrying between tribes because I assume because of the promises to the different tribes and the lineage of the land of Israel that God had given them. Some say, well, it belonged to the Palestinians. There never was Palestinians. They were Jebusites. All that other stuff came later. And when they went into the land and said, you got to drive out the Jebusites and the Hivites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and so forth. And said, I will give you the land. And God gave it to them. Now there's always a crowd trying to take away something that God gives to somebody. I'm sure that my best get is God just getting a big kick. Just laughing at the craziness of these governments thinking that they're going to take something away from Israel that God gave to them. And give it to someone else. They err not knowing the scriptures. All right. This is a resurrection of Israel at the end of the tribulation when God will raise them up at the beginning of the millennium. Romans 11:28, as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. God chose Israel. God can choose who he wants to. God can bless who he wants to. Brother Phil Gabbard and I had this conversation one time, and Phil told me, and I hadn't thought of it, said, God can have a dispensation for one man if he wants to. Duh. It's God. But Israel was his children. Look at David. David, the sure mercies of David. That was eternal life he promised to David. That's wild. All right. The Bible teaches that you got to love the Jew. As Christians, we have to love the Jew because we're commanded to. For the Father's sake. And he said, I will bless him that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And one of the greatest themes in all of Scripture is the resurrection and restoration of Israel. Israel will be restored. what is it in Isaiah? I forget where it's at. He said, unto us a son is given, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Upon his kingdom, upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it and establish it in judgment and justice forever. Henceforth, forever. Then it says, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Lord Jesus Christ is coming back as the King of kings and Lord of lords, and he's going to sit on the throne of David in the city of Jerusalem, and he's going to rule the world with a rod of iron. So I'm going to throw that in there. Now, a lot of preachers today don't believe and don't teach the restoration of Israel. It's kind of in man's nature that it's always about us. We always put our place in the place of the most blessing. There's a lot of different Baptist denominations that will tell you we're more blessed than the other Baptists because we've done it this way and that way and so forth. And it's always a little Pharisee that comes out, seems like, with every denomination on why they're far above the others. Only thing that's going to get any of them or all of them into heaven is the blood. You remember when that Passover angel came by, all he was looking for the blood. He didn't care how religious they were, whether they were doctor, lawyers, or Indian chiefs, took the blood. When I see the blood, I'll pass over. Let me get off track. The Jew is the only nation on the earth that has God's promises. Bible says Paul, how are they better than we? And Paul said, much in every way, because the oracles of God were committed unto them. The Jew is the only nation that gets a second chance. Here, that nation is placed. And see, they're not born again. Those Jews, they had to get to paradise. They had to do what God told them to do. And it gets kind of confusing. Well, there's souls in paradise, but here the bodies come out of the grave. And that's an interesting study. I won't say I have all that down, but we know that there's a human spirit. And when a person's born again, that Holy Spirit entwines itself with a human spirit. And we know there's a human spirit that's in the grave. You remember when the witch of Endor, she had a familiar spirit and brought up the spirit of Samuel? Now, this is a little sidebar here. I don't know how I'm getting into this. That was not the Holy Spirit. That was a spirit of Samuel that was with that body. I don't have all that figured out. Just a little sidebar. Get somebody reading. Go to your book. Start reading. Studying. All right. The Bible talks about those familiar spirits. It's almost like being on the same frequency spiritually with another, and a few have it. Say, you believe that, preacher? Yeah, I didn't say a Christian to mess with it. God says you don't mess with that. You seek to the Lord your God. In fact, the Lord told him to kill all that crowd. Told the Jews, get the witches and the soothsayers and those with a familiar spirit, get rid of them. Didn't say there's not power there. Tells us not to mess with the occult, not because there's no power there, but because you're a Christian, you look to the Lord your God. There's a gal that I know. I like her. She's a palm reader and does all that stuff. And I led her boyfriend to the Lord before he died, got saved. And I like her, friendly to her, but. A Christian isn't supposed to mess with that stuff. Well, I just love reading my horoscope. And give me a break. It's innocent. Sure, it's innocent. Maybe. Just don't mess with that stuff. You've got the Lord your God you look to. Huh. Don't know how I got on that. But the Bible says that all the nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. And the only exception here is the Jew. They rejected their Messiah, now they get another chance to accept him. And that's wild. Scripture tells us that God's going to restore. Now, this is a national resurrection. God's going to restore the land nationally and restore the people spiritually. He's going to put his spirit in them. Wow. He'll take that heart of stone and make it a fleshy heart. Put his law in their hearts. Wow. And also, those Jews are going to turn to Jesus Christ and trust in him as their Messiah and as their Savior. That's going to happen. All right. That's some pretty wild stuff. But how interesting is that? He sees those dry bones, and then he sees the sinews coming up on those bones. Those tendons and everything start coming up on those bones, and then the skin coming up on them. That's wild. That's pretty incredible. And now the rapture is another one of those resurrections. Before we do that, I want to look at the two witnesses. That's another one of the resurrections. And this is during the tribulation. We're talking about those things that deal with the Jew. The tribulation is referred to as the Great Tribulation. It's also referred to in Scripture as Daniel's 70th week. And also as the time of Jacob's trouble. Now we teach here that the Christian will be caught out, the rapture of the church, we'll talk about that maybe next week, but the Christian will be caught out prior to the tribulation. During that tribulation, there's seven vials of wrath that are poured out. It's a tough time. And I said that to say this, when we refer to it, when it's referred to it as the time of Jacob's trouble, it's not the time of the church's trouble. It's referred to as the time of Jacob's trouble. It's a Jewish thing. During that tribulation, the Jews are judged as a nation for crucifying and rejecting their Messiah. 7 years of tribulation. I didn't know who said this, and I taught it for a while, and then I sat with Sam Gipp one day at the reservation restaurant when he was preaching here, Dr. Sam Gipp. I said, Brother Gipp, somebody said this one time. I don't remember who it was, but when it concerns the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, why would a man beat up on his bride just before the wedding? That don't make sense. He said, I said that. I'm the one that said that. But that don't make sense. Why would somebody rough up the bride of Christ? Why would the Lord rough up the bride of Christ just before the wedding? That don't make sense. All right. Let's look at the resurrection of the two witnesses in Revelation 3. Revelation 11. 3 to 12. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. And he says who they are. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. Can you imagine that? Somebody bad-mouthing them, somebody tries to hurt them, and a flamethrower opens up on them. That's pretty wild. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain out. Now here we're going to see some things that will tell you who these two witnesses are based on their ministries during the tribulation. Let me say this. 75 years ago, I think, maybe more. A lot of those old-time preachers used to think that the two witnesses was Moses or an Enoch. But we'll look at some of the reasons why we don't teach that. Based upon the ministries that they have during the tribulation mimics the same ministries that Moses and Elijah had while they were here on earth. So we believe in who appeared at the Mount of Transfiguration? Moses and Elijah. So what we teach is that it's Elijah. Now the reason, I understand the reasoning was years ago that the reason they thought it was Enoch is because of the passage that says it is appointed to man once to die, and after this the judgment. So they had reasoned because Enoch didn't see death that he had to be one of the witnesses. But I think what they didn't see is the fact that Enoch was a perfect picture and type of a Christian who is alive when the Lord comes back. A Christian, if the Lord came back tonight, all of us in here would have never tasted death. Oh, death, where is thy sting? If the Lord came back tonight, we would be caught up without ever seeing death. So Enoch is a perfect type of the Christian who is caught up without ever seeing death. All right, let me move on. They have the power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy. Have the power over waters to turn them to blood. And to smite the earth with all plagues. You see how this is coming together with Moses and Elijah? As often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. My, my, my. Egypt, you know, God never called anything good out of Egypt. Egypt is a type of the world. Do you know where all the new Bibles come from? They came out of Egypt, the Alexandrian Egypt text. And a lot of the church has fallen for them hook, line, and sinker. This Bible, King James, came out of Antioch. In Syria, by way of the Balkans. Just thought of a little sidebar, throw that in there. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them. They're doing that now. Something happens to a Christian, a lot of the world rejoices when something bad happens to a Christian. That's what will happen with these two witnesses. And the nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another. Isn't that wild? Isn't that wicked? Because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life, it's a capital S, Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet. This is the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, the quickening Spirit. The Lord, the Bible says, is that Spirit. He that hath not the Spirit of Christ is none of his. All right. The Spirit of life, capital S, from God entered into them, the two witnesses that were dead, And they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. My, 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 isn't that wild? We talked about some thinking that Enoch was one of these witnesses. And that is because of the verse in Hebrews 9:27, but others disagree. And the crowd I run with kind of has concluded that Enoch is a type of the Christian who is here when Christ comes for his bride and whose life. All right. We teach that the two witnesses most likely are Moses and Elijah. Both Elijah and Moses were on Mount Sinai 40 days and 40 nights. Enoch wasn't. Both Elijah and Moses have ministers that follow them around in their work, and Enoch didn't have that. Both Elijah and Moses crossed water miraculously. Enoch didn't do that. Elijah calls down fire from heaven. Moses smites the earth with plagues. Elijah didn't die, but he will die in the tribulation. Isn't that wild? All right. Now, in the middle of the tribulation, these two witnesses get caught up to heaven. They're killed, and then they get resurrected. That's a resurrection, these two witnesses. And they get raptured out to heaven. And that's the sixth. I don't know if this is the sixth. No, it's, I think we haven't done the rapture. We'll do that one. Seemed like there's maybe another we haven't done. But I look at those things this way too, like I do a lot of the creation passages. If God thought it was important for us to know exactly who these two witnesses are, he would have just told us. I got my two witnesses. Well, who are they? None of your business. You know. He would have told us, all right? Whether it was Enoch or Moses, God would have told us if it was important for us to know. So I'm thinking it was Enoch and Elijah instead of Moses. All right. Now we've got a couple resurrections left, and I don't think that we've got the great white throne judgment. And we've got the rapture of the church. And the great white throne is when all after the tribulation, the battle of Armageddon, the millennial reign of Christ. And there's a judgment day. A lot of folks think that there's a general judgment. They'll talk about that great judgment day. Wilma Lee sang that song, Walking My Lord Up Calvary's Hill. One of the lines, God will reward you on the great judgment day. Well, there's a judgment day for Christian, but it's a judgment seat of Christ. It's not the great white throne judgment. The moment I trusted Jesus Christ, you know what happened? I bypassed the great white throne judgment because of Jesus Christ. He took that judgment in my place. All the sins that folks are going to get judged at the great white throne, if they had accepted Jesus Christ's atonement, they wouldn't have to face that judgment. But man, they're there by the millions and billions. They didn't want anything to do with Jesus Christ. But that's seven resurrections that we're going to look at in Scripture. I love the one about the rapture. The word rapture, of course, does not show up in Scripture. It talks about gathering out of Christ's bride. The principle is taught, and we'll see that through the text. When Christ returns, it's an exciting time. Behold, it's another one of the mysteries. Another one of the mysteries. Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. for this corruptible, those in the graves. Two groups here. This corruptible must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. And when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and when this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? That's talking to the ones who are alive. No sting of death. Man, if the Lord, man, that trump sounds, the Lord steps out and off we go. We never tasted death. O death, where is thy sting? Then those in the grave, that's the other group. Those who've died and caught on. O grave, where is thy victory? And of course, it's that other group that comes up first. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And they which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud forever to be with the Lord. To meet the Lord in the air. Now, a lot of folks get that thing in their head that that's the second coming, the second advent. But that actually happens later when the Lord returns to earth and sets up his kingdom. That's referred to as a second advent. And don't confuse that with the rapture or the calling out of Christ's bride. Does that make sense to anybody? But the second advent, when the Lord shows up, and the kingdoms of this world, behold, the kingdoms of our Lord. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord. Man, it's going to be wild. All the saints with him, it says. Going to be wild. One page says 10,000 of its saints, and I've heard preachers say, well, it's only going to be 10,000 times 10,000 come with him. Well, then another place, so it says that all the saints. So we're going to be coming back with him. But that book's such an exciting book. The Bible is a very exciting book. One of my favorite things is what we talked about tonight, the Valley of the Dry Bones, and the Lord raises up that whole house of Israel. Now, God do what he wants to with a Jew. And I've said this before. I heard a preacher say that he thought the reason God loved the Jews because they're the hardest people in the world to like. He said, "You ever?" I remember his message said, "You ever go walk into a pawn shop in Chicago?" He said, "They're hard to like, and that may be why God chose them." I don't know, but that's kind of funny. God can do what he wants to, but because they're God's chosen people, I'm going to love the Jew. I'm going to stand with a Jew, and I'm thankful. I think that's an important thing for this country. By what our president has done, standing with Israel like none has, maybe forever. He's brought blessing where this country was in a nosedive. In a nosedive, when it, scripturally, all the ungodly things that we've got involved with. But here, president, that a lot of this country don't like. People getting beat up for wearing his hats. And he said, we're standing with Israel and we're going to move our embassy back to Jerusalem and we're going to support Israel taking back the Golan Heights. Wow. Netanyahu said, man, there's never been a man like that for years and years. And Netanyahu just got reelected, I think, today. So. You see, we have a tendency to think that it's all about us, but it always has and always will center around Israel. World history and world events will always center around Israel. Isn't that wild? Wow. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you tonight, Lord, and if there's... We thank you for that precious word you've given us and reveal so many things to us that are exciting to us and know a lot of those events are about to occur. We thank you for what you have revealed to us, Lord, and we pray that if there's anyone here tonight who has never trusted their Savior, Jesus Christ, who is going to one day sit on that throne of David, Lord, we pray that tonight would be the night. We pray that you would turn that heart to Christ tonight. as the way, the truth, and the life, Lord. Thank you for revealing that precious plan of salvation to me, Lord. And I thank you for it, and I praise you for it. And Lord, I just pray that you'd be with all those who've taken the time here on a Wednesday night to come out and hear the teaching of your word, Lord. And you tell us that a pastor should be apt to teach. And I enjoy it, Lord, and thank you for the message and the labors of others who I got this message from, Lord. And we'll just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Everyone stand up tonight. Going to have a verse of a song of invitation. The altar's open. Whosoever will, let him come. Won't you come?